Peter chapter 5, verse number 10. We'll be turning to other scriptures in the message today, so please keep your Bible handy and look along with us as we study the scripture. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 10, the Bible says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever." And all God's people said, amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we are thankful for this day. We know this is the day you have made, and I pray we rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you so much for letting us be here. Thank you for each person that's come. Lord, you know every person, you know every need that's represented here today. Lord, I pray that through the preaching of your word and the power of the Holy Spirit of God, you would meet every need. Lord, most especially if there's somebody here today that's lost, I pray that this day would be their day of salvation. Lord, it'd sure be a wonderful thing to see somebody this day, this hour, trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, I pray you would speak to us saved folk. You would change our hearts and help us to be better Christians. Lord, I ask you to please give me liberty and clarity of thought and speech. Help me to say exactly what you want said. Lord, when it's all said and done, help us to be sure that we give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This morning I'm going to preach a message titled, "The God of." The God of. And what I'm going to do in the next few minutes, Lord willing, is take you to certain scriptures where the expression "the God of" shows up. And my desire in doing this is the same as every time I preach. My desire is to evangelize the sinner, to encourage the saints, and most of all to exalt our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a message I believe that applies to everyone who is present today. And the first scripture that I want us to look at this morning is the one we read right here in 1 Peter chapter 5. And we're going to get right on into the message since we do have several scriptures we're going to look at. So look with me once again right here at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 10, where we read a moment ago. And notice the Bible says here, "But the God of." The God of. And in each verse we look at where this expression shows up, the Holy Spirit is going to give us some insight or some revelation, if you will, about the God of the Bible. And here we find in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 10 that the God of the Bible is the God of all grace. The God of all grace. It says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus." The God of the Bible is, according to this verse, the God of all grace. He's not the God of some grace, but he's the God of all grace. Amen? That's what the Bible says. He's the God of all grace. So all true grace comes from God. He is the fountainhead, if you will, of all true grace. Whether it comes directly from him or it is channeled to us through a person, ultimately all true grace finds its source in the God of the Bible. And that's why at various places in the Bible you'll find the expression "the grace of God." The grace of God, because it is his grace. And thankfully, according to the Bible, the God of all grace gives his grace to people who live down here on this earth. That is a spot where everybody in here should have said amen. Because you and I are the recipients of the grace of God. And I'm sure you've heard people say many times, preachers preach, that God's grace is God's unmerited. And that's the very important word. It's God's unmerited favor. That means it is unearned and undeserved favor. That's what grace is all about. It's God doing for us something that we do not deserve and something that we cannot do for ourselves. That's what grace is all about. If it was something we could do or something we deserved, it would not be grace according to the Bible. Grace is something that is unmerited. And that's what God possesses, and thankfully that's what God gives to people down here. For example, we find in the Bible that God gives grace to sinners. By sinners, I'm talking about sinners that are lost. I'm talking about people that have never received Jesus Christ. I find in the Bible that the God of all grace gives grace to sinners, and what a blessing that is. You know what I'm looking at this morning? You know what I looked at in the mirror this morning? I looked at a sinner when I looked in the mirror this morning. I'm looking at sinners here today, and I'm looking at people who at one point in time in their life were lost without Jesus Christ. They were not saved. You were on your way to hell, destined to burn in the lake of fire, but something happened along the way that changed your destiny forever. And what happened is at some point in time, in response to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you put your faith and trust in what He did for you at Calvary, and God's grace saved your lost soul and gave you a future in heaven. Amen. That's what happened at some point in time if you've received Christ. The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." If you're saved here this morning, I promise you, you are not saved because you earned your salvation. You are not saved because you deserve your salvation. You are saved because there is a God in heaven who is the God of all grace. And when you put your faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, He gave you what you did not deserve. He did for you what you could never do for yourself if you lived a million lifetimes. That's what grace is all about. I see in the Bible that He gives grace to sinners. Thank God for it. Amen. But not only did I see in the Bible that He gives grace to sinners, I find in the Bible that this God of all grace gives grace to the saints. I think sometimes we forget that even after salvation, we continue to be the recipients of the grace of God. Certainly we received His grace the moment we trusted Jesus Christ. At that very moment, He gave us grace, and that's why we're saved. But each day, and throughout our lives, after we get saved, we continue to be the recipients of God's grace. He continues to do for us what we do not deserve Him to do all throughout our life after we get saved. I find in the Bible where Paul said this of himself. He said this after he was saved. He said, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." He talked about how his life had changed after he got saved. And most everybody that has read the Bible or spent some time reading in the New Testament knows what kind of life Paul had before he got saved. You know that before he got saved, he was a very religious man. He was a religious zealot, in fact. So religious that he persecuted Christians to the point of death. But at a certain time in his life on the road to Damascus, he had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, and his destiny and his life was changed forever. Right there, he became a recipient of the grace of God. And even beyond that, God's grace worked in his life. Paul talks, in fact, about the dispensation of the grace of God that was given unto him. And he's not talking about a period of time in that instance. He's talking about God dispensing grace to him after he got saved. So he was a recipient of God's grace at salvation and also beyond salvation. The Lord continued to dole out that grace in the life of the Apostle Paul, so much so that Paul said to the Corinthians as he looked at his life and how it had been changed. He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Whatever you are today, and I don't imagine that any of us are everything we'd like to be, amen. We all got room for improvement, but hopefully we're not what we used to be. Hopefully we're not in the same shape we were at one time. Hopefully our life has changed and we've progressed along. But whatever it is you are today, wherever it is you are in your walk with God, I can tell you it is by the grace of God that you are what you are here today. It's because you are a recipient of His grace. I find also in the book of Hebrews where it says that we can come boldly. We can come boldly to the throne. Are you listening to me? To the throne of grace. Isn't it good to know that that throne is a throne of grace? Man, if it was just, and it is a throne of judgment. People are going to stand and be judged. But if it was just a throne of judgment, if it was just a throne of justice where we got exactly what we deserved, I hear people say, I want to get what I deserve. No, you don't. Mm-mm. Not with God, you don't. You don't want to get what you deserve with Him. And if it was a throne where we just got what we deserved, if we just got justice there, man, there would be no hope for us when we approach that throne. I'm thankful this morning the Bible says it's a throne of grace. It's a place where I can go during those times of need in my life and I can get something that I do not deserve. Man, if I was only able to receive from God because of what I deserved, I wouldn't get very much from the Lord. I'm thankful it's a throne of grace where the Bible says I can find mercy and grace to help me in my time of need. That throne of grace is there for you. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can go there and you can receive from His hand grace and mercy to help you in your time of need. The God we serve, folks, is a God of grace. That's something, irregardless of the time change, that ought to make you excited this morning. I know it was a long night. My dog Barton kept me up all night last night. That close to death, you understand me? His grace had just about run out with Brother Keith last night. Irregardless of the fact that it was a long night, we got something to be happy about this morning. Our God, the God of the Bible, is a God of grace. But let me show you something else that I believe is important as well. Go back with me now to the book of Philippians. Turn back. We're going to look at these backwards this morning. We started in Peter. We're going to go back now to the book of Philippians. And certainly we're not going to look at all of these. I just picked out some, the ones that I felt like the Lord wanted me to preach on today. The first we looked at in 1 Peter 5:10 reveals to us that our God, the God of the Bible, is the God of grace. But number two, I want you to see this morning from Philippians chapter 4 that our God, the God of the Bible, is the God of peace. The God of peace. Anybody in here ever need some peace? I like when Paul writes his letters. Whenever he's writing to a church or he's writing to an individual, he'll start out and he'll introduce himself and then he'll close out that salutation by saying, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Two things that I believe every person needs. We all need God's grace. There's no doubt about that. But I believe we also need peace. But I am convinced in my mind the only way we can really get some of that peace that we need is for us to first of all experience the grace of God. Look right here in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 9. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Paul says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. All that stuff that I've taught you. The preaching, the teaching, what you've received from me. And not only what I have taught you, but the things you've seen demonstrated, he says, and seen in me. Paul was not a person who didn't practice what he preached. He preached the message and he taught the message, but then by God's grace, Paul went on to live the message. He says, those things you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Follow my example is what he's saying. And notice what he goes on to say, and he says, "The God of peace shall be with you." The God of peace. The God of the Bible is the God of grace, and the God of the Bible is the God of peace. Just like all true grace comes from God, all true peace comes from the God of the Bible. And I'm thankful, just like God gives grace, he also is willing and is more than able to give us the peace that we need in our lives. And I believe living in a world like we live in today, where there's so much turmoil and where there's so many cares, the Bible talks about the cares of this life. How many of you know what it's talking about when it talks about the cares of this life? There's a lot of cares in this life. There's a lot of turmoil. There's things that really can keep us upset all the time if we let them. I mean, if you just want to stay upset, then I tell you what you do. You don't get out and do anything. Just sit in your house and watch television all day. And I'm telling you, sooner or later, you will get depressed if that's all you do. Just sitting around watching and reading about all this stuff that's going on and just dealing with the things that we have to deal with. Sometimes we need peace. That's what we need. Just to calm us down. Just to get our feet back down on the earth. We need peace from God. And God is able to give us that peace. How does he give us that peace? Well, I want to say, first of all, that in order for you to have peace, to receive peace, you've got to have peace with God. To get the peace of God, you've got to, first of all, have peace with God. According to Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Before a person gets saved, they don't have peace with God. Y'all understand that? According to the Bible, before somebody gets saved, they are at enmity. That's the Bible word. They are at enmity with God. There's hostility there. That's why the scripture talks about how man and God has to be reconciled with one another, because there's a problem before a person gets saved. There's hostility. There's enmity. So if I'm going to receive the peace of God, number one, I got to get some peace with God. Me and God have to get on the same page. We have to be reconciled to where we have the kind of relationship that God wants us to have. And the only way I get that peace with God is, as the Bible says, through our Lord Jesus Christ. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the grace of God takes over. You are reconciled to God. There is no longer enmity between you and the Lord. You are at peace with God. That's the first step. But then secondly, I want you to look right here in Philippians chapter 4 with me. We're talking about how you get the peace of God. How do you receive from him the peace that you need? Number one, you got to have peace with God. But number two, I want to say from verse 6 and 7, you got to spend some time in prayer with God. Some time in prayer with God. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 6. It says, "Be careful for nothing." That's a commandment, by the way. Be careful for nothing. How many of you be willing to admit, along with the preacher this morning, that's a hard commandment to obey sometimes? It's hard. One time Jesus said to a woman named Martha, he said, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." And I believe that could be said of a lot of us at certain times, amen. Careful and troubled. Sometimes we just let those cares of life overwhelm us. And we get so anxious and we get so worried and we get so bent out of shape about stuff that's going on. And a lot of times it's stuff that we have no control over. How many of you know worrying about something you have no control over does not help the situation? It doesn't, but we still do it, don't we? I mean, we're prone to do that. There's that tendency, that bend in us to worry about things, to get full of care. But the Bible says I'm to be careful for nothing. I'm not to let anything overwhelm me. I'm not to worry about anything. Here's what I'm supposed to do with every care that comes my way. Look at what he says, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in how many things? Everything. 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 Whatever it is. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, Let your requests be made known unto God. So what am I to do when a care comes my way? Instead of worrying and fretting and being bothered about it, I am to go to the Lord in prayer with whatever it is. And in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, which is very important, by the way. I am to let my request be made known unto God. Lord, this is what's going on. This is the news I just got. This is what I just saw. This is what I just heard. Lord, I don't want to get bent out of shape about it. I don't get worried about it. I just want to give it to you. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning, didn't we? Just putting your cares on Him. Casting your burden. Just saying, Lord, I'm asking you. Because I can't fix the problem. I can't solve it. I'm just asking you, Lord, to take care of this thing for me. Please help me. I'm letting my request be made known unto God. Instead of worrying about it, I'm praying about it. Instead of worrying about it, I'm trusting God to take care of it for me. And look at verse number 7 at what's going to happen. The Bible says, and the peace of God. That's what we need, right? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How do I receive His grace? Well, number one, I got to have peace with God. But number two, I got to make sure that I spend some time in prayer with God. Taking my cares, my burdens, my problems to the Lord and asking Him to take care of it. When that happens, the Bible says that God's peace, which passes all understanding, will keep my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So number one, He's the God of grace. Number two, He's the God of peace. And let's look at a third one together. Turn now back to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The God of the Bible is the God of grace. The God of the Bible is the God of peace. I want you to look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 3 to begin with. And notice here that the God of the Bible is the God of comfort. The God of comfort. All of these things, I hope that you're seeing this as we go through the message. All of these that we're talking about are things that we all need at different times in our life. Every one of them. We all need these. Sometimes what we need more than anything else in our life is comfort. Amen. Sometimes that's what we need. And that's true for a lot of reasons. Sometimes it's because we lose a loved one. Sometimes it's because of a relationship that ends. Sometimes it's because of a child that's wayward or sick. I mean, there's all sorts of reasons. But our hearts are broken. And oftentimes we see tears streaming down people's faces because their hearts are broken. And what they need is comfort. That's what they need. Maybe you haven't been where I'm talking about. Can I say something to you this morning? Just hang on a while. Your day's coming where you're going to need some comfort. And you know where you'll have to get it? If you want real comfort, you're going to have to get it from the God of the Bible. Because just like He's the God of grace and the God of peace, friend, He's the God of the comfort you need. Look here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 3. Paul says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. We saw where it said He's the God of all grace. We talked about how all true grace comes from Him. The Bible says He's the God of all comfort. So all true comfort comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from the world. It doesn't come from abusing a substance like so many people do. Y'all do realize that the vast majority of these people who are strung out on drugs and alcohol and involved in pornography and all that, most of these people started down that road and have stayed on that road because something happened in their life that they didn't know how to deal with, and they looked in the wrong direction for something to heal a broken heart on the inside of them. Y'all understand that? Folks, that's the wrong places to look. That stuff's not going to help you. If you want real comfort, you're going to have to get that from the Lord. He's the only one that can give it to you. There's no drug, no drink, no activity Only the Lord can give you the comfort you need in your life. Notice what the Bible says here in verse number 4. It says, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. So he's the God of all comfort, and that God of all comfort comforts us if we'll let him. All right, if we'll let him, if we'll go to him, he will comfort us in all our tribulation. That's a good thing, because doesn't the Bible say that in this world ye shall have tribulation? That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. In this world ye shall have tribulation. So what I need is some comfort to help me deal with the tribulation. And if I'll let the Lord, if I'll yield myself to him and look to him as the source of all comfort, he'll comfort me in every single instance of tribulation that I have to deal with in this life. The Bible doesn't say he'll take away the tribulation. You're going to have tribulation as long as you're down here. But he'll give you comfort that you can't find anywhere else to help you deal with the tribulation. And why does the Lord do this? Well, let me show you something real quick here in verse 4 before we move on. It says, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You know one reason why he comforts us in all our tribulation? He does so in order for us to be channels through which he can get comfort to other people. He wants to use us. He comforts us so that we can then turn around and take that same comfort that we receive from him and use it to be a blessing to somebody else. That's what the Lord wants to do. One thing he wants to do with you is use you to be a channel to get comfort to other people. Let's go back to Romans chapter 15. I got just a couple of more of these. I want you to go with me to Romans chapter 15. The last two will be here in Romans chapter 15. The God of the Bible is the God of grace. He's the God of peace. He's the God of comfort. You need comfort this morning? If you'll let the Lord, he'll give you that comfort. And number 4, I see here in Romans chapter 15 that the God of the Bible is the God of patience. God of patience. Thank the Lord. The God of patience. Romans chapter 15, verse number 5. Romans 15, verse 5. The Bible says, now the God of patience and consolation. Consolation is basically the same thing as comfort. We just talked about that. Now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. The God of patience. You know why he's called the God of patience? Well, I believe a couple of reasons. Number one, because he is patient. He's patient. I see from the Bible, and I also see from my own experience, that he is patient with sinners. Back to this thing of people being lost. You know what the scripture says? It says, God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How many of you understand he doesn't want anybody to go to hell? Nobody. You say, what about so-and-so and what they did? Nobody, okay? Nobody. He does not desire, it is not his will for anyone to go to hell. The Bible says he will have all men to be saved and to come under the knowledge of the truth. That's his desire. So he's patient with sinners. You know why the Lord doesn't just kill somebody and put them in hell the first time they reject the gospel of his son, Jesus Christ? And am I talking to anybody that might have rejected it a few times before you received it? You know why he doesn't just kill somebody and throw them off into hell the very first time they reject the gospel? And let me say to you, he would be completely justified in killing them and putting them in hell the very first time they rejected the gospel of his son. Y'all agree with that? He would be. Matter of fact, he don't even owe it to us to give us the gospel. But he would be justified in putting a person in hell the first time they rejected. Why doesn't he do that? Why didn't he do that with me? Why didn't he do that with you? because he's a God of patience. And he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The reason you see some people who get chance after chance after chance, they hear the gospel again and again and again, is because the Lord is a patient God. He's long-suffering. He doesn't want that person to die and go to hell. So he's patient with sinners. But I'm also aware of the fact that he's patient with saints. Just like he gives grace to sinners and he gives grace to saints, he's patient with sinners and he's patient with saints. He's patient with me all the time. He's patient with us when it comes to our spiritual growth. I mean, let's all be honest this morning and admit that a lot of us Christians don't grow at the rate we ought to. Amen. There's some Christians that grow at a snail's pace. Some that seem to never grow in their life spiritually. But the Lord is very patient with us. And that's one reason I believe you and I should pray that God would help us to have patience with other people. You know what I'm amazed at? I'm amazed at how we can get saved and just kind of grow along at a very slow pace, take years and years for us to reach the point where we are, and even then we're a long way from where we need to be, but it takes a long time for us to get there, and then we look back and we see this person, they get saved. And we think overnight, I mean not a week, not 2 weeks, but overnight, we think, hey, that person ought to be where we are right now after years of being saved. And we expect that immediate change and everything ought to be exactly how it is in our life. We don't extend patience with people. Let me ask you something. Did you get to where you are right now overnight? As the Bible says, I trowed not. You sure didn't. It took some time for you to get from where you were to where you are, and God, and whether you realize it or not, a whole lot of other saved people were very patient with you. They gave you a chance to grow and mature and develop. Shouldn't you extend the same courtesy to them, to other people? Absolutely. God's patient with us when it comes to our spiritual growth. He's patient with us when it comes to our sin. I mean, let's be honest and admit, all of us got some sin, some stuff that we deal with, and many of us been dealing with it for years and years, and he's convicted us about it, he's reproved us about it, he's given us chance after chance to repent and turn away from that sin, and still many of us are dilly-dallying around with that same sin right now after years and years of God dealing with us about that. Why hadn't he killed you already? Why hadn't he killed me? Doesn't the Bible say the wages of sin is death? Why hadn't he killed us? Because he's a God of patience. He's being patient with us. He's given us that opportunity to hopefully get that thing taken care of and move on in our life spiritually. God is a God of patience. He's a God of patience because he's patient, but also because he gives patience. And the Bible does say that we have need of patience. That's what it says. And God is able to give you patience. I have said this about myself. The Lord convicted me again as I was preparing for this. I have said about myself, you know, I just ain't got a lot of patience. You know what? Shame on me. Shame on me. I have need of it. And I have a God who is able to give me the patience I need. And if I'll allow him, he'll work that patience into my life. And the same is true of you. Listen, I don't know, some of you in here probably have the patience of Job, and thank God for it. Maybe that's not an issue. But some of you, I would just be willing to go out on a limb and say that some of you probably like me. You don't have very much patience. You don't have it. You and I don't need to be guilty of going through life bragging about that. We don't need to go through life acting like it's a good thing that we don't have patience and we have a real short fuse with people and things like that. Listen, God is so patient with us and other people are so patient with us. You and I should extend that same courtesy to other people. Be patient with them. God is allowed. He'll work patience into your life. Now, the Bible does say that tribulation worketh patience, so it may take some tribulation and some trials. It may take a little time, some ups, some downs, but God can give you the patience that you need in your life. Here's the last thing. Got to move on. I'm out of time. Look in this same chapter down at verse 13. The God of the Bible is the God of grace, the God of peace, the God of comfort, the God of patience, and last of all, I want you to see, he's the God of hope. The God of hope. The Bible says in verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope. Notice, abound in hope. The Lord doesn't want you just to have a little bit of hope. He wants you to abound in hope, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You know what Paul says about people before they get saved? This is in Ephesians chapter 2. He says, they are without hope and without God and without Christ in the world. Whether a person has enough insight to realize it or not, before they come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are without hope. They have none. They have no hope. The only thing in their future is a lake of fire without Jesus Christ. They have no hope of heaven. No hope of going to a better place. You hear about these people who die, and obviously they were lost and on their way to hell. Their clear testimony is they never received Jesus Christ, and some priest or some liberal preacher would get up and talk about them going on to a better place. Listen to me. Are you listening to me this morning? I'm telling you, if a man or a woman dies without Jesus Christ, I don't care what accomplishments they have in this life, they do not go to a better place. All that's in their future is a lake of fire. That's what's in their future. They have no hope without Jesus Christ. But the other side of that coin is that when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will always have hope. There'll never be a time when you will be hopeless anymore. Isn't that a blessing? A Christian can get to the point where they feel hopeless. They can get overwhelmed and get their focus off of the Lord and the Bible, and they can get to the point in a situation where they feel hopeless. But the fact is, once a person is saved, it can never truly be said of them that they are hopeless. They're not without hope. You have hope from that day forward. And I'm not talking about a hope so. That's how we use the word. Well, I hope it'll all work out. That's not the way it's used in the Bible. In Hebrews, the hope we have is said to be both sure and steadfast. We're talking about a guaranteed thing here. Not something that might work out or might not, but a guaranteed assurance that we have. Paul says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He talks in Colossians 1 about the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Peter talks about us being begotten again unto a lively hope. I got hope this morning. Do you have hope this morning? Do you have it? You look at the presidential election going on. If that's what you're looking at for hope, give it up, friend. Give it up. There's nothing there that's going to give you any hope, okay? There's nothing in this world that's going to give you hope. I have hope this morning. No matter what I see going on, I have hope this morning. I am confident as I stand here that one day I'm going to be in glory with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to receive that heavenly inheritance that is laid up for me. And I have that hope because the God of hope has given me that hope. Do you have it this morning? Are you sure? Are you confident that when you leave this world, you're going to be with Jesus Christ? Let's bow our heads for prayer. If you don't have that hope this morning, you can. If you've never trusted Christ, I'm telling you, you don't have hope. It don't matter how much money you got. It doesn't matter how popular you are. It doesn't matter how healthy you are. You have no hope this morning without Jesus Christ. The only thing in your future is hell and damnation. That's it. But you can leave here this morning with hope in your heart if you'll trust Jesus Christ. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to be in your house and study your word. I pray you'd bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together.
Page number 384.
Would you come while we sing this morning? If you're lost, would you come? Would you come get some hope this morning? You can't get it anywhere else but in Jesus Christ, only him.